This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, so starting the CAA board meeting on September 23rd, just doing a quick roll call. Tony Sheridan?
Here.
Mike Long?
Here.
Mary Ellen Jones?
I think she's here. She's definitely.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Yep, I'm here. Sorry.
Thank you. Brett Broucha? Bob Aronson?
Here.
Pat Gilmartin? Karen Jarmak?
Here.
Matt Kelly?
I am present.
Treasurer Wooden?
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Thames? And Commissioner Giulietti? Okay, I think we're all set.
Great. Well, thank you all for joining us this afternoon. I'd like to start off by letting everyone know or reminding everyone that this is our annual meeting. And I did call a couple of you about continuing in your chair's position, but I didn't get a chance to call the rest of you. So if you have a concern about that, now is the time to speak up. Let's start the meeting off by congratulating Kevin and his staff for a wonderful job that they have done and with the JetBlue announcement. And maybe, Kevin, do you want to just take a bow on that and make a couple of remarks?
Yeah, we certainly feel very fortunate that JetBlue is making that level of investment here in the airport. We have been talking to JetBlue, as you know, for quite some time. In fact, some of these routes go back a number of years when we started discussions with them, and we were making a lot of progress pre-pandemic, but then naturally everything got put on hold. And I think JetBlue now sees an opportunity here, and I think the testing exemption with the travel advisory is what really opened the window to allow them to make the announcement. So I do think, we're starting to see a little bit of competition among the airlines. I think they're all trying to size up where they are in the environment and take advantage the best they can of their individual strengths. And I think, you know, we're starting to hear that about Southwest and certainly JetBlue. I think JetBlue sees this as a real opportunity to capture some market share out of Bradley, and they're certainly banking that the fundamentals of the market are going to return post-pandemic. So again, this is a major increase for us. As you know, West Coast service, along with transatlantic service, had been our primary goals when we were first formed, and it's great to see that level of commitment. Certainly all the staff, all the work they do here every day in terms of, you know, keeping costs as low as they do, you know, allows us to go out and sell the airport fairly easily. So certainly thanks to all the staff. Well,
very good. Well, thank you. And any other thoughts or comments on that?
Just a question, yep. Kevin. Is it all supposed to be daily service, or is it just certain days of the week in any cases?
No, all four routes, they're going in on the basis it'll be daily service. I mean, naturally, if the demand isn't there, they'll make adjustments to that, but it's all starting off with daily.
Thanks.
Very good.
And I'll just add, Pratt and Whitney was very glad to hear this as well. JetBlue is a big customer of ours, and they will be using Whitney engines on these long-haul routes. So another reason to celebrate.
Very good.
There you go.
Good news all the way around. The governor was in Eastern Connecticut yesterday and mentioned the JetBlue announcement to a group at the Mystic Aquarium. And clearly he was very pleased with the development. So it's great to have a little bit of good news in these days, there's not a lot of it. So thank you, Kevin, and the staff again. Look, at I cannot find my agenda here, so I'm sort of flying, forgive the pun here, the plane as I build it. So can Alex, can you announce the agenda items so that we can proceed?
Well, I think the next item on the agenda is the executive director's report, so I can jump into that if you'd like, Tony.
That sounds good.
Just a couple of quick items. I'll start off with the passenger traffic. Unfortunately, what's happening is most airports are not reporting traffic numbers because they're all being based upon TSA screening statistics. So I only have our numbers to report today. But in June, we were down 78.3%. And in July, we were down 74.2%. So if you look at where we're at year to date through July, we're down 58.3%. And we do expect that number certainly to get worse as we progress through the rest of the calendar year. Because keep in mind, right now, it's at 58% because we had a very, very good January and February here at the airport. But because we don't have the other regional airport numbers, I thought it might be interesting to show you where we're at as compared to the national averages. And I think it's important to point out that we have been looking at these national averages since April. And if you look at, in particular, May and June, we were leading the other regional airports by about 10 percentage points. And a lot of that we did attribute to folks leaving New York or leaving Boston and flying out of Bradley because they felt a little bit more secure about flying out of a less congested airport. But then, you know, as we pointed out in the past, the travel advisory seemed to slow some of that recovery that we were experiencing. And I think now, as you look at the national average numbers that we have for September, it illustrates that. For example, on September 8th, we were down 75.2%. The national average for that same day was 64%. So down, you know, more than, we were off more than 11 points off the national average. On the 9th, we were down 79%. The national average was 69.2. On the 14th, we were down 77.8%. National average was 69.7. On the 15th, we were down 82.5%. National average was 74.1. And on the 16th, we were down 82.4, national average being 73.1. So we are very hopeful that as we kind of move forward and start a testing option here in the state, that we're going to start to see us get back at least closer to that national average, if not exceed the national average and get back to where we were in May and June. So, you know, certainly the relief that the governor has announced in terms of giving the ability to test in lieu of quarantine is going to be very, very helpful. So let me jump right into where we're at in terms of the testing. As you know, we have been working with a couple of labs talking about the potential of setting a site up right here at the airport. We are hopeful that next week, we will be able to announce the opening of at least one site here at the airport. We're looking at the potential of an in-terminal location where people, as they exit the airport, come down the escalator, they'll be in close proximity to where we believe we can set up a testing site. We're also, though, looking at the potential of having a second option here at the airport where it would be a mobile drive-through site set up in one of the parking lots in close proximity to the terminal building. Because we're getting, you know, kind of mixed reactions. In a lot of respects, we think a lot of people, you know, once they get off, you know, a couple hour flight, they're gonna look to just leave the airport. They may just wanna get in their car, but drive through a mobile testing site versus, you know, going to an in-terminal location and, you know, queuing up at that location before they leave the airport. But we're going to try to offer both options. I do think we're going to have the in-terminal testing site will probably be the option that's offered first but we are dealing with another lab that has expressed interest in the mobile site. In terms of the types of tests, in both cases, they would be PCR tests that are processed through labs. One lab has committed that they will get us the results within 24 hours. They've been pretty good at that. We've been putting our employees through testing through that lab, and they have met that commitment to get the results back to us within 24 hours. The other lab right now is only committing to a 48-hour turnaround, which is still pretty good when you take a look at, you know, what's occurring throughout the state in terms of testing. The second lab, though, has also talked about the potential of providing a rapid test. It's known as the Abbott test here at the airport. That is considered a PCR test. It's relatively new, has the same accuracy, naturally, as a standard PCR test, and you can get the results of that in 15 minutes. So that holds a lot of promise for us in terms of offering this. One thing we have been hearing from folks in the area is, will we offer the testing to the greater population, right? Meaning people in the local community, if they're not flying, can they utilize the test site here at the airport? I do think we would look to make that available at that drive-through site. I don't think we necessarily want to encourage people to come onto the airport to come into the terminal building to take the test, but I think the capacity would probably be there on the drive-through site, so we're working that through as well. The other thing, we're going to start promoting this with the airlines to, you know, make sure that they know the availability is there to have their employees tested right here at the airport. And we are going to look to talk with the airlines about the potential of, you know, promoting it as, you know, a reason to fly through Bradley. I've been exchanging some emails with Bob Aronson. And if you look at what's happening internationally, a lot of countries are talking about making testing mandatory in terms of taking a flight. Now, in some countries, that's easy because they do control the airport structure and can just mandate that every airport has to do that. Here in the U.S., it's a little bit more difficult, a lot more complex. But, for example, we may look to approach a JetBlue, for example, and say, on this new L.A. flight, is it something that you want to offer that in order to be eligible to take the flight, you have to have a negative COVID test? And then it would have to operate the same way on the LAX side. So a lot of exciting opportunities to potentially explore there, but right up front, you know, we want to crawl before we walk and simply, you know, offer that testing site here at Bradley to try to take advantage of the exemption and to get people feeling a lot more comfortable about flying. So I don't know if there are any questions on that I can answer right up front.
Kevin, I think you missed it. Available this testing capability?
I'm sorry, Mary Ellen, you cut out there.
Oh, but would the testing be available approximately?
Well, we're hoping that we can make an announcement next week and that it would be available next week.
Great.
Okay, we're still working out, you know, some final logistics with the lab. I will probably know more by the end of this week. But if we do, you know, we'd like to try to get the governor's office out here to participate in some announcement to really promote the availability. But we are targeting next week sometime.
And I can hear somebody typing, so if folks can go on mute, that would be helpful.
I'd just like to add to what Kevin was saying at the end there with regard to the evolving international approach to dealing with the problem. Yesterday or the day before, the International Air Transport Association, which in principle represents all the airlines of the world, finally came out and said that the model that Kevin was explaining of having all passengers on a flight tested at either end of their trip before they board, which would entail some additional delays, was really the way to go forward to regain confidence in flying, which I personally believe. And so I just wanted to share with you all that that there is movement in that direction, and obviously Kevin is staying abreast of it, and it may be something we see in the coming months.
Very good. Any other thoughts or questions?
Just a couple other very quick updates. Ground Transportation Center, we're making a lot of progress on it. If you haven't been to the airport recently, I think you're going to be very surprised at what's already been constructed. Certainly the project is very much on budget and on time at this point. Another major project that we were looking to move forward with was the modifications on the lower level of the terminal. We spent probably the past year taking a look at that, you know, how we can improve the aesthetics, carpet replacement and whatnot. But unfortunately, because of the environment, the revenue environment right now, we're going to put that project on hold until things start to turn around a bit. But we are still working with the airlines on an inline baggage system here at the airport, partly because we do have a federal grant for that project, or at least the design of that project. So that design is moving forward. That's something that the airlines are very interested in seeing us install here at the airport. And then lastly, on Bradley, the terminal restroom project is just about completed. We are expecting that the last restrooms will open by the end of October. So we continue to get good comments on the improvements that we've brought to the restrooms. In terms of the GA airports at Waterbury, Oxford, you'll be hearing a little bit later on as part of the economic development report that we have transferred, or the transfer between Serum James and the new operator has been completed. So it's nice to get that done. At Hartford Brainerd, an emerging issue there, we are reactivating all of the conversations about tree removal around the airport. As you know, we do need to remove the trees as they represent obstructions to the approaches at the runway. There's about 40 acres that are involved in terms of removal. As you've seen in the past, that always generates a lot of community concern. So we are, you know, continuing to reach out to Hartford and Weathersfield in particular to talk about how we can move this project forward. We are asking DEEP, the environmental organization here in the state, to try to expedite the permitting for that project because we really do need to get these trees down. We've been working on this along with the communities now for a number of years, and we're at the point where it is starting to represent some significant issues for us. So I am sure that you will hear a lot more on that within the next weeks and months. And then lastly, just wanted to report, you know, as our continuing effort to reduce costs here and meet the commitment that we have to the employees here at the airport, we are going to be moving forward with some of the changes I discussed previously as it relates to the ARC unit here. We have made the decision to move forward with the index change for the airport. Again, just to briefly explain that, airports are put into an index category based upon the longest aircraft that operates at the airport on a 5 times daily basis. Okay. We had been maintaining 6D here at Bradley. The reality is, based upon the longest aircraft that operates, we should only be index C. So dropping down from D to C represents a savings for us in terms of what we have to staff here at the airport. The other move that we're going to make is we are going to be altering the schedules of the firefighter personnel here to get more efficiency out of the schedule. We are giving 90 days notice for We're required to give 14 days notice, but we felt we wanted to give the 3 months notice so if people had to make different arrangements. So that will go into place by the end of the calendar year. The other item that we talked about, the elimination of the paramedic program, we've elected to put that on hold for the time being and do a little bit more research as to what the actual savings will be to the airport as a result of that. So that concludes the report. I don't know if anyone has any particular questions on any of that.
There be none, so let's move on. Let's start with board committee membership. Is everyone happy with their assignment right now, or is there a change that you'd like to make? There be none, and we will continue. You will continue as assigned. So committee reports, Karen?
Sorry, I just was unmuting myself. So we actually had an audit committee meeting. It was honestly just myself and the staff, but we did meet with the auditor and talked through the process, and everything is going as planned, and we should expect to be receiving a completed audit report, I think, at our next meeting, but Kevin, if you can please remind me if I'm on that right timetable.
Yes, I think the audit meeting is scheduled for October 7th. So we are on schedule. We are waiting for one last piece of information. We're hopeful that we will have it before the 7th. If for some reason we can't get that information in, we may have to defer that meeting. What we're actually waiting for, and Mike can explain this a little bit better, is some data from the state to allow us to complete our financials. But
we have to, in accordance with GASB, record our proportionate liability for the pension benefits as well as the OPEB benefits, so other post-employment benefits, which is the retiree medical benefit each of the members get. We have the information for the pension liabilities from the state. We do not have it for the retiree medical or OPEB liability. These are very complex calculations that happen statewide and then allocate a portion to the CAA based on our underlying payroll. So we're awaiting and communicating every day with the state comptroller's office to get it, but we cannot finalize the audit until we get that information.
Any other questions, Karen?
Tony, just to add on to that, so this is a small committee, and we don't meet regularly like the other committees, but we do have an important task. And so when you were asking about committee assignments, I have no issue with my committee assignment as chairing this, but it might be helpful to have one additional person to consider that, because because it's so small, if there's one person or two in this case who couldn't make it, then it's just myself as the chair, and it would just be helpful, I think, to have perhaps one additional member moving forward.
Well, I'd ask the board members to think about that question and get in touch with either Alex or Karen directly and join the committee. I think it is an important committee.
Yeah, it's Tony and Karen, it's Madge. I'd be glad to work with you on that.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you. So, are you all set, Karen?
I am, unless people have questions.
Other questions? There'll be none. Let's move on. Economic Development Committee, Scott?
Tony, unfortunately, Scott advised me that he wasn't going to be able to participate, at least for the first part of the meeting. So, he's asked me to have the staff cover the report. So I'm going to ask both Mike and Alex to talk about the two subjects that we discussed in the committee meeting. The first Mike will cover is just the general economic update.
Very good. Thank you. So earlier we met with the committee just to cover general business development initiatives on Bradley. As you know, we had identified several land parcels to earmark for the next phase of development should there be interested outside parties. We wanted to advance the environmental review tasks as best we could to set those parcels up for immediate development once an identified interested party comes to the table. Those were parcels 1, 5A, 5B, and parcel 4. So on parcel 1 over by the TAC Air FBO facility, parcel 5A near the Embraer facility, we were performing environmental reviews. We're finalizing those now, which will enable us to get a category exclusion, a Cat X from the FAA, and that will conclude all of the preparatory work for environmental compliance to prep it as best we can for future development. We did also complete the wetlands mapping on parcel 4 and 5B. As expected on parcel 4, there are significant wetlands on those properties, but they are not the immediate focus for development at the time. Concessions update, the new full-service Dunkin' branded location in Concourse D is now up and operational, and the new Jamba Juice facility should be open in the first week of October at the head of Concourse C as well. One other lease item for the Army Air National Guard here at Bradley. We are going to do a small land swap with them. Some slivers of land within their current leasehold will be traded, given back to the CAA in equal parts for slivers of land that will be added to their leasehold. This is to accomplish a little bit more ease of moving their trucks into their fueling location without having to go over their airfield ramps. In total, it's about 0.7 acres, but it's an equal amount of land swap being exchanged. On the GAs, just a couple quick updates. As Kevin already mentioned, at Oxford, the FBO lease from PJ Aero, or AKA Jerome James, has been fully assigned over to Clay Lacy at this point, and phase one development due diligence is happening as we speak. Specific plans will be due to the airport by the end of November for phase one development there, so that was a good accomplishment. And then also at Oxford, the customs facility construction by Atlantic is underway, and heavy construction should start in October with about a year timeline for completion. Those were all the major updates we covered.
Okay, and the other item that was discussed in that committee meeting was the update of the economic impact study. As you know, we've been working on that over the past year. There's good and bad news. The good news is it represents a significant increase in economic activity that's being generated by the airports. The bad news is it's all based upon our pre-pandemic position. But I'm going to ask Alex to just give you a brief overview of what the report includes. Alex kind of wrote herd on this effort.
So just very briefly, you have the executive summary in your packets, so I won't go too deep into this. But as Kevin mentioned, for Bradley Airport, there was quite a significant increase from the last time that we had a economic impact study, which was in 2015. So in the course of those 4 years, the total economic output actually increased by about $1 billion. It was $2.6 billion in 2015, now it's $3.6 billion. The number of jobs also increased pretty significantly, going from 20,604 jobs to 22,800 jobs, as well as the state and local taxes generated by the airport. In 2015, that was about $154 million, and now in the fiscal 2019 study, that was approximately $257 million. Also, the general aviation airports, a number of them saw increases as well, and the total system as a whole is contributing about $15 million worth of state and local taxes as well, which is always a good marketing piece for us to use when we're talking to the legislature about the impact of those facilities on the state as a whole. So, pretty self-explanatory. Like Kevin said, naturally these numbers are very different now than they were back in fiscal 19, but still very helpful for us to have them because we can use them with folks to help them understand that this is what we're trying to protect and this is what we're trying to recover for the state of Connecticut. So if there are any questions, happy to try to answer them.
Questions for Alex? There have been none. Alex, is it possible to get a electronic report?
A copy of the full report?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we can get that to you.
Great. Well, if we're done with that, are we all set with Economic Development Committee? Yes, we are. So
the Finance and Operations Committee, Tony?
Yeah, Brett?
Yeah, unfortunately, Brett is not available today as well, so he's asked us to talk about it. There was a Finance and Operations Committee meeting on September 1st. We went over a general financial update. I think the key takeaway to that is, focusing on the fourth quarter of last fiscal year, which covered April, May, and June, puts us right into that immediate pandemic impact period. And it essentially showed that we were $10 million under budget as it relates to revenues. And as we're projecting out, for this next fiscal year, which started on July 1, that's what we're anticipating our revenue performance will generally follow until we start to see, that higher level of recovery. So, it just illustrates again why we're so focused on, operating expenses here at the airport and try to cut those expenses as much as possible. We are being as judicious as possible, utilizing the CARES Act money that was awarded to Bradley, in addition to utilizing our reserves. The other item that we discussed at that meeting dealt with the continuing requests that we're getting from various tenant classifications here at the airport for relief. As you know, we have deferred tenant rents essentially for now a six-month period, but in a lot of cases, tenants are indicating that they need more assistance than deferrals. We do have an item today in executive session where we'll be discussing a staff recommendation that was discussed at that committee meeting, so more to come in executive session on that. So I don't know if there are any particular questions on any of that.
Questions for Kevin? Well, there be none. Let's move on then to, we have to elect the vice chair. So, and I don't think we did that. Did we? No, we didn't. Due to popular demand, Mike has agreed to continue serving as vice chair. And so we need a motion accordingly.
I would like to so move.
Second. This is Madge seconding.
Okay. Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? So carried. So, Mike, do you want to make an acceptance speech here, or should we hold off on that?
Well, I have several pages of notes here, but I think maybe we'll postpone it to another meeting. Thank you all.
Well, thank you for serving in that post. I do consult with Mike quite frequently, and he's been very helpful to me, especially as I had my learning curve there for the first year. So the next item on the agenda is consideration of an action upon the fiscal year 21 operating budget adjustments. Who's taking that? Kevin, Mike?
Yeah, I'll just briefly, and I'm going to turn it over to Mike. He'll give you the particulars on this. But as you know, the budget that we put together for this fiscal year was put together prior to us understanding exactly where we were going to go with the parking situation here at the airport. So as a result of us now inheriting the responsibility for that operation, we do have to make adjustments to this fiscal year's operating budget to account for that. But Mike can give you the specifics on it.
Sure. In the resolution, you can see the already board-approved fiscal 21 budget, but as Kevin mentioned, that was before the parking lease termination. So the adjustments here, as presented, are all related to the parking operation. The old structure, the parking operation used to be treated as almost a third enterprise fund. It's now folding the results right into the Bradley Enterprise Fund. So we're making some revenue adjustments here for a total of $9.2 million of parking revenue. That's to reflect actual customer revenues now. With the new structure of a parking service contract, the standard parking operator is no more than that. They are managing the operation on our behalf. All revenues flow directly to the Bradley Enterprise Fund. On the expense side of the equation, you see an addition of $5.2 million. $3.9 million of that is the expectation of operating expense for the year for the parking operation. The other $1.3 million, these are related to termination payments that were outlined in the termination agreement already approved by the board in previous months. The last item is down in the non-operating section, the parking debt. As you know, we've fully redeemed the outstanding parking bonds this past August 3rd. And so we've got to reflect the consumption of those resources there within the budget. I will just mention, though, although it reports $15.9 million, if you recall, as we walked through the reduction earlier, a lot of those monies were funded by already existing reserve funds and what have you for the parking bonds. So it isn't consuming ongoing Bradley resources. The only amount that we contributed was about $6.5 million, which we funded through the CARES Act grant. To complete or fulfill the total reduction of those bonds. But that has relieved us going forward of any cost pressures from parking bond debt service. So all in all, a good win, and this is more of a formality to bake in those parking adjustments that we've already approved with the lease termination and new parking management services agreement.
Good. Any thoughts or questions from of Mike? Nope. There be none.
May I have your attention, please? An emergency condition has been reported in the building. Evacuation may be necessary. Please remain where you are and await further instructions.
Okay.
May I have your attention, please? An emergency condition has been reported in the building. Evacuation may be necessary.
We're going to have to wait to try to clear this as soon as possible.
May I have your attention, please?
Okay, well, that was one hell of a report, Mike. I'm not sure we'll be able to continue here, but let's continue. There is a motion, I think, in order to for the budget adjustment. Does someone want to make it?
Tony, I don't know if everybody's online.
Okay.
I'll be happy to move it.
Okay.
And I will, and Matt will second it. I don't know if Alex can hear us.
So what we can just make note of it and then perhaps share that with Alex after.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to clear this alarm before we can move further on the meeting. Because of the public announcements here, we simply can't hear.
May I have your attention, please?
So what do you want to do, Kevin?
Did we motion for a recess on the meeting? Reconvene about 2:15 or 2 o'clock?
Did everyone hear that suggestion?
Let's approve this motion first, and then
okay.
Go on.
Robert has made the motion, and who seconded?
I'll second it.
Mike seconded. The motion has been made and seconded to approve the budget adjustment as presented. Further discussion? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, so carried. Period. Kevin, do you want to try and continue?
I don't think they can with all the noise.
I think he might be on the phone.
I don't think so.
Let's hang in a minute here and see what happens. Alex, can you hear me? Well, he's on the phone.
Well, they're still at the board table, but they've muted their audio.
Alex. Okay, so let's postpone the meeting until It's 1:45 now. Can everyone meet around, we say, 2:30?
Yes.
Yep.
Certainly.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Yeah, I just would have, this is Gwen, I would just have a hard stop at 3.
The consensus is that we will meet again at 2:30. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. They're out of action until they solve this issue, and we meet again at 2:30.
Great. Hope all is okay there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Take care.
Be well. Talk to you, Ben.
Thanks.
This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, so resuming the CAA board meeting, doing a quick roll. Tony Sheridan?
Here.
Mike Long? Mary Ellen Jones?
I'm here.
Brett Brouchuk? Bob Aronson?
Present.
Treasurer Wooden? Deputy Commissioner Thames?
Present.
Commissioner Giulietti? Scott Gilmartin? Karen Jarmock?
Here.
Matt Kelly?
Present.
Okay, we're all set.
Very good.
All right, maybe before we start, because we were having difficulty hearing you, so we have to record some of the votes. I think someone made a motion to recess the meeting to 2:30 and that was voted, but did you vote anything prior to that as it related to the budget adjustments?
Yes, we did. There was a motion made by, I think, Bob and second by Mike, I think. Is that correct? And it was unanimously approved.
We don't have to re-vote that, right, Paul? That was the vote to return the
system. That was for the budget.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the budget adjustment.
Would you mind revoting that again, because we're not too sure it would have been picked up on the recording.
So we've completed the discussion on the fiscal year operating budget adjustments, and a motion is in order to approve.
I so move to approve the adjustment to the operating budget as proposed.
Motion has been made and second. Do I hear a second?
I can second if you like, Matt Kelly.
Second.
Okay. There have been no further discussion. Matt, since this is a budget item, is it you okay with seconding it?
As long as it doesn't directly affect me other than other people, I think I am.
Okay. We're good with that, folks. So let's all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. So the motion is in order to go into executive session to discuss negotiation strategy regarding airport leases with tenants. Do I hear a motion?
I move.
Seconded.
Second. Further discussion? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. So Alex, you take it from here to get that organized.
Yep.
Yep, so I think we have one member of the public on the line right now. You will be removed from the meeting now for executive session, but please call back in the next couple of minutes using the same details, and then you'll be put into a waiting room, and you'll be rejoined to the party once executive session ends.
This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, out of executive session.
We are out of executive session and no action was taken during executive session. So, motion is in order to continue approve the director's suggestion relating to the item on the agenda.
Yeah, you're going to, I could suggest that a motion is that you authorize staff to work with the rental cars to limit or abate their bag up to 50%. I think if you make the motion there, that's, we're going to have that stated as that's what you're approving.
Okay, do I hear someone making that motion?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Right, so Kevin, read back the motion so everybody is clear on what we're doing here. Or, I mean, well, what, someone read back the motion.
For the industry here, do you want it just for that industry or more?
No, right now we're just doing that industry.
So July through December, the abatement you mentioned.
Right. So the motion would be that staff is authorized to abate up to 50% of the minimum annual guarantee for the rental car companies between the period of July 1, 2020 to December 31st, 2020.
Very good. Any further discussion? There have been none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Great. The motion has been adopted as presented. So, anything else on the agenda that we need to take care of, folks? Not then, I would just bring the closure to the meeting by again thanking Kevin and the staff for the wonderful success with JetBlue, and let's continue. So, great. Well, thank you, everyone, and have a great remainder of the day.
Motion
is in order to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Favor.
Hi.
Thanks.
Oh, so carried. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.